So this month leading up to Pentecost, we're going to be looking at missions. We're going to be trying to understand what it means to go out there and what Christ had to say about it. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts. I'm not going to be long, Brother Tim. You get the time here. But I need to introduce where we're going and why you're even here today, because what he has to share with us is the proof of in our lives and what we're doing and how we're doing it, of what is spoken here from chapter 1 in the book of Acts, beginning in the 6th verse. And for the next month, we're going to be concentrating on these two verses. It's just two verses, but yet they are so packed that it will take a lifetime to realize them. Verse 6, we read these words. So when they had come together, they were asking him, our Lord Jesus, saying, "Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" Then he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." When we understand those words, that means that we're going to be going out, that we have a Jerusalem, a Samaria, and a remotest parts of the earth in our lives today. That doesn't mean that we're all going to go to Jerusalem, okay? It means your Jerusalem is right here, all right? It's where we live. Then we go out into Samaria, which is the greater area around us, into our neighboring states and even into our neighboring nations. And then the remotest parts means the uttermost of the world. And today, we're going to do it a little backwards, because Brother Tim is taking us into the uttermost parts, because it's not our Jerusalem. It comes from our Jerusalem because they're located right here. FIA is located right here with us in our midst. So it's a local mission that reaches worldwide. And that's the exciting part, because we see this reality right here in our own lives. And it's amazing, because Brother Tim and I just spoke a little bit earlier, and I wanted to lead into this and understand how many of you are looking at the world scene right now. How many of you are looking at what's happening around the world, and you've got one ear up and the other ear focused in on the world, because you're waiting to hear the trumpet. Because if there has been no time in the past millennia as we see today, the preparations are being made, and we need to be about the business of the church. And for that, I asked Brother Tim Johnson to come up here and share with us what is happening in Nicaragua. I don't know if I said that properly. I know he says it so much more poetically than I do, because in my English, it's Nicaragua. But Tim, welcome, and we are so glad to have you here to let us know what is going on in God's kingdom.
Well, it's just great to be here this morning, and I just want to thank you for your warm welcome. And this morning, I just trust that as we look at the world and what's going on, and yet we can also look at what is God doing around the world. I trust that I can be an encouragement to each of us, and that God will take and use that to encourage us and spur us to be more effective and more involved in what God wants us to be doing. You know, as I look at this, Jerusalem, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. You know, if we're going to reach the uttermost parts of the world, Jerusalem and Samaria need to be doing what they should be doing.
Amen.
Okay, it starts here. The old saying is, the light that shines the brightest around the world shines the brightest at home. Amen?
Amen.
So if it's not shining bright here, it's not going to reach out to the uttermost parts of the world. And that's what's so vitally important. And I want to start off this morning just with a couple praise items. I want to take a brief look at what is happening around the world. And I know my wife and I, we watch the news, and after a while, we just got to shut it off. It doesn't encourage us very much at all. And we hear what's going on around us, and we think, wow, where is it all going? But then we have to focus back on what is it really all about. And we think about the work that's going on in Bolivia, South America. I just want to say to you this morning, praise the Lord, over 300 souls were saved last year up on the rivers. The very beginning of the Amazon River is this little work going on with this riverboat, going up into these rivers and tributaries and reaching people with the gospel. And another 300 souls were saved this past year as that riverboat was going out and sharing the word of God through evangelism, medical outreach, and youth outreach. And it's just great to be able to share that God is at work there in Bolivia. And God is doing a working amongst them with the radio ministry as well as the boat ministry. And then if I go to Burkina Faso, and that's just always been an exciting work to talk about. And I look at this past year and I say, well, what's been happening in Burkina Faso? I just want to again encourage you that God is literally touching several hundred souls every year. We're talking about Muslims. You know, we look at the world scene and the Muslim scene that seems to want to just crowd in and push through and take total control. But God is working in the hearts of Muslims in Burkina Faso, West Africa. Our goal has been to touch as many villages as we can through the water drilling ministry. And as we drill water wells, we're seeing people come to Christ. And it's just exciting. I wanted to read just a couple little things here to you that I thought were really exciting. Here it says, this is from Burkina Faso. The church in Zimbabwe was given a property on a hill looking over the village, far from the only well in town. As we gathered with Pastor Pierre to pray before beginning to drill, the thought entered my mind, I wonder if this will be a dry well. Throughout the day, as the drill went through the foot after foot of solid granite bedrock, spraying a gray dust, doubt began to creep in. The team was tired and becoming a little discouraged. And Pastor Luke said he wanted to, he had accompanied the team and he wanted to have time to stop and pray. And he walked away to take that time. At a depth of 280 feet, with only two drill rods left, a decision needed to be made. Should we call it quits and pull up the rods and start over at a second site? As the team prayed, it was decided to drill another 10 feet. You got to understand, in Burkina Faso, if you hit 300 feet, you're not going to hit water. Because all the research and all the studies and all the previous work that's ever been done, there's never water below 300 foot. Okay, so we know that. So we have enough rods to go down 300 foot. But at 300 foot, we don't hit water. It up and we have to go somewhere else. And that's the point these men were at. We're at 280 feet. Do we continue? Keep drilling. It's just that many more rods you got to take out as you keep going down because every one of those rods has got to come out eventually to complete the well. It says at 280 feet, they said they decided to go down another 10 feet. At 290 feet, the bit ran into an underground river and clean water began to flow. Later, Pastor Luke told us that the village elders were telling the town people that we would not find water since we had not sacrificed chickens to the ancestral spirits. Pastor Luke had slipped away to a quiet place to pray and plead with God to show up and provide a good well. That night, the team members from Greenview Alliance Church in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, not far from here, washed away the grime and dirt of that dusty day in a shower of sparkling clean water pumped from that well. You see, God is at work. He wants to show himself to the people, and he's constantly at work. Here's another brief one. A small mud brick chapel of the Alliance Church in the Marka village of Kwana is located only 30 feet from the well site. This band of believers is led by Pastor Jose. He shared how the drilled well at the government medical clinic located a couple hundred yards from the church property, has never been used as the water pumped from the well is oily and reddish in color, staining anything it touches. As a team, Pastor Jose the local believers gathered to pray before starting to drill, we asked the Lord to give us a clean source of water. At 50 to 75 feet, sure enough, reddish, oily water sprayed up. As the drill bit hit bedrock, the water began to clear up. At 120 feet, a geyser of water began to gush forth as an aquifer had been hit. Thousands of gallons began to flow as the artesian well was released. A well measuring at a flow rate of 7,500 to 10,000 gallons of water per hour was a testimony to the pastor, local believers, and doubting villagers. The team stopped drilling, and the pastor preached in both of the local languages. Later that day, Pastor Jose shared how villagers were saying that the chapel would be filled with believers as people who had heard the gospel would be encouraged to follow Jesus as they saw this visible manifestation of God's power, grace, and love. Isn't that tremendous? And those are the kind of stories that we continue to hear as we continue to drill wells in Burkina Faso. And knowing that we're seeing 400, 500, 600, 700 Muslims turn to Christ every single year, our goal and our objective as a ministry has been, Lord, can we double that? Lord, instead of reaching 500 to 700 souls a year, can we reach 1,000 to 1,400 a year? And so what does that mean? That means the people of Jerusalem and Samaria had to pull with us to reach the people of the uttermost parts of the world by providing $150,000 in drilling equipment. So actually, that's just the Jerusalem of the USA. We actually had to pull from the USA, the United Kingdom, and Canada to be able to buy a $350,000 drill rig and what goes with it. And so, folks, I just want to say praise the Lord. At the end of this month, that drill rig is ready for us. It's been paid for. It'll be ready for us. And so we will now have two drill rigs working, hoping to have now, instead of hitting 30 to 35 villages a year, we want to hit 70 villages a year. And would you pray with us? God will go before our men. And we're in the process right now of actually doubling and having two teams out there working and drilling at the same time. And so that's an exciting thing to see, that God is already touching hundreds of souls. While we're looking at the Muslim world falling apart and trying to take over, we're also hearing of God touching the hearts of Muslims who are turning to Jesus Christ. Why? Because they see there is no love in the Muslim faith. And so God is at work. I want to touch about the Muslims in Asia. There's an organization in Moldova called the University of Divine Grace. University of Divine Grace is in the city of, what is that called? The capital of Moldova. That slipped my mind. Excuse me. But anyway, this is a Bible college that is crowded with students. They're coming in from Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Pakistan, all these stan countries that are full of Muslims that you and I can't hardly even enter, and they're coming to this Bible college. And we're seeing that college filling up with students to the point where they're building a bigger building and a bigger facility to be able to accommodate more students, to be able to teach more people. And then they're going back to the uttermost parts of the world and taking the gospel. And so, again, it's Jerusalem and Samaria that are helping to build that Bible college, to equip that school, and to help take care of those students coming. And so these are the things that God is doing as we pray and as we ask him to go before us. In Vanuatu, way over there in the South Pacific, okay, if you don't know where Vanuatu is, it's a little set of islands, 88 islands, has over 100 language groups in 88 islands. And in that little place in the world that's so small you can't even see it on the map unless you search for it. Look for Fiji. It's right next to Fiji. Okay? God is at work, and we've been working on building a road there for 3 years now. And you say, how do you reach people with Christ with building a road? How does running bulldozers and tractors and dump trucks ever reach people for Jesus Christ? Well, it works, people. It really does. And so in building this road, 19 villages were impacted. 19 villages that have been waiting and asking the government for a road for 50 years have finally got a road right into their village, and they're saying, who is doing this road? Well, the pastor says, Friends in Action is helping us build this road. Well, why would they come here and help us? Well, because they want you to know that God loves you so much, he would send them from halfway around the world to come help you right here in Vanuatu. And the people are going, well, we want to know more about this God. And we've seen over 240 people saved in 3 years because of building a road. And that's been really exciting to see. But then it was really exciting to also hear that there's 20 villages that were all controlled by one witch doctor. That one witch doctor had a grip on all 20 of those villages. And he went out and he visited all 20 villages. And he came back after his tour to all those villages. And he said, well, the people of Matalo and Baloi, they don't need me anymore. They have Pastor Gabby, and they have the Jesus Christ, so they don't need me anymore. Well, interesting enough, we were asked by the works department, not by the village, we were asked by the works department, would you go out and help clear a couple landslides that are really close to this little village, but we don't have any machinery there. Would friends and actually go clear these landslides? So we went out, we cleared those landslides, and by the way, what was one landslide turned into four, cleared them, and were able to actually get this cleared up. The road was working. The people said, would you just go a little farther and help us by making just a simple road into our village? You see, we don't have a road into our village. And so the guy said, okay, we'll take the bulldozer and push a few trees so you can at least get a truck in with four-wheel drive into your village. Well, the witch doctor had told him, you will never have a road in this into this village. But you know what? God decided something different, didn't he? You know what? That witch doctor was so taken back by that provision and that blessing and that love demonstrated to his people in his village, he said to the pastor, you need to come in and teach in my village. Can you imagine the witch doctor inviting the pastor to come teach in his village? You see, that pastor was curious. What is going on in Valois and Matoroy? Why do they not need me anymore? And God, through his providence, led that witch doctor to the Lord. So now there's 20 villages. What are they turning to? There's a witch doctor, an ex-witch doctor, saying, wait a minute, you need to bow to Jesus Christ. If you need help, that's who you need to turn to. You see, these are the kind of things that God is doing. And this morning I would ask you, would you turn in your Bibles to Luke? Luke chapter 15. And I think as I talk about all that, I also want to say that I'm actually a little disappointed this morning. I didn't hear anybody cheer. I didn't hear anybody clap. You know, we have a little thing that we do in our church, and Lemon Valley Bible Church puts a white rose on the front of their church every time somebody's saved. So the whole congregation knows somebody got saved, and they can praise God and they can and be excited about that. You know, Look here in Luke. He says, Luke chapter 15, verse 1, it says, and then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmuring, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ draws near to sinners, to you and me? And he goes on down and he says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he leaveth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. He says, for I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I didn't hear any joy this morning, folks. I didn't hear any rejoicing. I just told you about close to 1,000 souls that were saved last year. What's the matter? What's the matter? That's the point of what I want to get to us this morning, folks. This is what we've come to. This is how much we take for granted what happened last week. We celebrated the cross. We celebrated salvation. We celebrated all that. Let's go down to the next. It says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over how many? One sinner that repenteth. You see, for that woman, now again, there's different ways to interpret this passage. Could have been a woman with a piece of jewelry. that her husband would give her when they were married, and as they went on through the years, he would give her, add a coin to that. And they were, for a momentous moment, for a special time, a celebration, a memory. Or it could have been a necklace or a piece that was put on her, and they had these headpieces that had 10 pieces. And those were given just like you give a ring at the point of engagement. So to lose a piece out of that was very, very important to her. She didn't want to lose that. I can remember when my wife lost her diamond in Papua New Guinea. She had the ring, but the stone fell out. And like months and months and months later, after all this work and all this went on, digging and trenching and sawdust and all this construction that we did, that diamond actually surfaced one day. We looked down and saw this diamond on the ground one day, and we were like, you have got to be kidding. Amazing. Do you think we rejoiced? Happy lady that day, let me tell you. And we had to tell everybody, look at folks what God did. We rejoiced. That's the way we should be rejoicing over souls that have been saved in this past year. Think about it. Have we lost the Father's heart? These passages, these parables are the Father's heart. That's what it's talking about. The Father's heart says, even as you go out and search and you find this lamb who's so special to you, and you rejoice, I rejoice over one soul that's saved. Even as you found great joy in finding this special piece that is really nothing but a piece of coinage, I rejoice that much more. The angels of heaven rejoice together. And if you go down into the next parable, it talks about the lost brother and how really, you know who lost there? It wasn't the lost brother that he's focusing on. He's focusing on the elder brother who had lost his heart for his own brother who had gone off and gotten lost and was a mess. And he had lost his own heart and care about his flesh and blood brother. That's the Father's heart. He says to go after who's lost in verse 4. I underline that in my Bible because I want God to remind me, Tim, I want you to go after those people, not just have them come to you. It seems like in our churches today we say, hey, bring them in, fill the church, bring them in. He didn't say bring them in and fill the church. He says go after them. That's you and I in Jerusalem, Samaria, reaching out to those people and showing them God's love and care. And then it's like the woman who sought diligently. How much do we do of that for the Lord? How much are we doing? And have we lost that passion and that heart that God wants us to have? Well, I just wanted to throw that out to you first as I go on into talking about what God is doing in Nicaragua. And this has, of course, been a great passion of mine, working with the work in Nicaragua. And so I've got some pictures I want to show you. But I want you to really think about that. Please don't walk away and look at what God is doing in Nicaragua and say, isn't that great what Friends is doing? But no, what does God want you to be doing? Not us. What does he want each and every one of us to be doing to thrust forward his work around the world? And so I just want to thank God this morning again for what he is doing in Nicaragua. And it's interesting that I have this opportunity to share with you. And 2 days ago, I received these pictures from Boone Cedar from Diego. So I can actually show you a couple updated pictures here of the work in with the Mosquito. For those of you maybe not as familiar here this morning, again, it's on the east coast of Nicaragua. Up on the northern part of the east coast is Puerto Cabezas, and that's where the work is. There's a little village called Boone Cedar that you folks have sent people to and you've been a part of and continue to be a part of, and it's just great to see how Diego and Esperanza continue to work with the work, and they're doing well. These are pictures that just came to me a couple days ago because the Central American church called FIEMCA sent a group from the church called the Light of the Nations, La Luz de las Naciones. Isn't that a great name for a church? The Light of the Nations. And that's what we want to be, is the lights. So they sent a team out to Boone Cedar to help Diego and encouraged the people, and they taught and shared the word of God amongst the people. They took time, and they spent time with the children, and teaching them and having activities with the children as well. It was good to just to hear. I got just a paragraph from Diego a couple days ago. So I thought, I should show you this and share with you how God is at work there. Even while we're gone and we're here at this side of the water, well, God is at work there. And they had a piñata, and they, of course, do this in Central America and South America. They string it up. It's full of candy. And then they blindfold the kids, and they take a big old stick, and they beat away and try to hit it. And of course, they can lift it up and down. So sometimes they can hit it, and sometimes they can't. It's just a lot of fun for the kids. And there's Esperanza hugging it before it gets destroyed and becomes a pile of candy. I guess they also did some activities with the youth. He didn't tell me about what happened there with the young guys. But I thought, isn't it great to see that there's young men being reached and worked with there? And that's been my concern with the work there, is there's primarily children and women, and there's very few men. And I was really pleased to see that. I was also encouraged to see that they were giving out clothing to the people. So what a blessing. They not only came to help and teach, but they reach out to them in a physical way to provide some clothing to them. And there they're lined up getting their bags. Okay, well, I just wanted to show you those recent pictures I received. And I'll move on to the Rama work. Daryl's doing a great job and working with the work amongst the mosquito. And I know that some of you will probably be going this summer. And then I've continued with the Rama work and continue to work with that situation. You fly into Bluefields in a little Cessna like this, 12 passenger. Welcome to Bluefields is the sign you see right there at the airport. And then we take you by boat to the Rama property. This is the island called Ramakai, and that holds 1,400 people living on this little crowded island the size of two city blocks. This is the home of the missionaries we work with there, and it's been a great blessing for us as we bring teams. It gives us a place to meet and housing to work out of. We have a couple cabins that we use to host our teams that come, and it works out very nicely for us. If you're there long enough, you might even see some monkeys. We do have monkeys right there that come and go, and they can be rather noisy at 4 in the morning. You may not think too much of them at 4 a.m., but they can make their attention known. Fishing is the livelihood for the Rama people, and so that's how, of course, they're able to sustain themselves, which is pretty meager. We've been working with them over the past few years of helping develop their new village. We have 11 homes like this that have been built, and so that's been a real blessing. The people have homes that won't rot out in 5 to 7 years. And so that's a real blessing, and we continue to work with that. And I have to say that even though we've built the homes and we put water wells in place, and we're actually working on some more, we keep working on developing the property, improving it. This is an old shed that we've used for a period of time to store the tractor and to do a wood shop, but that thing is getting eaten by the termites. It's about ready to fall down, and so in preparation for that, we built another building that the termites couldn't eat, and this is our new wood shop. But we used it, I built it really for two purposes. One was to replace the old wood shop that's deteriorating, and two was to have a place to meet with the people. And I've never called it a church because I want them to build the church, not us to build the church, and I want them to take responsibility in that. So we call this a wood shop, and we will slowly crowd them in this wood shop to where they'll want to build a church, and eventually they'll do that. But we're also waiting the church to grow to where it's ready for that. One of the first things our team faced in February was we had trouble with the well pump, and so we had to get the guys together and figure out the pump and get it going again and put it back down, and we did get it going, and that was a real blessing. This building, because it was a wood shop, we had to strip all the electrical out of it. We had a wonderful team that went down in February, 9 men, and 4 of them were very qualified electricians. We put in underground power lines to several buildings, and then we removed the generator, and of course, to do that, we had to build a generator shed, and this is one of the guys that went, and by the way, all those ditches were hand-dug and hand-backfilled, and we put in over 700 feet of underground cable in place. But the guys did a great job of putting all the breaker boxes and panels and plugs and switches and And all those things in place. There we go. Oops. And then, of course, made sure that new wood shop was all wired and ready to use as far as plugs and lights and outlets. Here we are having our lunch. Ruth does a great job taking care of us and feeding us. We're very thankful for that. But again, as I said, we needed to build a generator shed. So here we are building a generator shed so that we got a place that's permanent. And the termites won't eat away like before. And that way we'll have it hooked up to the shop and have our power. So there we are putting our generator shed roof on. And this is just great to see what the guys could do. In a matter of 2 weeks, we saw a lot of work done. So there it is. That's our little diesel generator that runs the whole property there. And works out very nicely for us. It's economical. And so we're very thankful. One of the things that we've done is we've made this metal bender right here locally. This was made. And then we took it down and we welded together all our steel joists. So guys that weld, we were able to put them to work. Guys that do electrical, we put them to work. And so here we were welding up the trusses so that we could build our roofs and not have the termites eating the timber and whatnot away. So here's our guys getting ready to put an extension on the shop so that we have a place to park our tractor before the shed rots away and falls down on the tractor. So here we're doing an extension onto that building so we have a spot for the tractor. Then we also have been working on building a new guest facility. It's what we call a guest duplex. And I would ask you to pray for this man. His name is Heido. And Heido is a very gifted young man, very gifted. He has tremendous natural aptitude in mechanics. And I've asked Wayne if he actually go down and help train this man to weld and teach him some more skills that way, because he has a natural aptitude for all that. And I keep praying that God will get a hold of his heart. This man is constantly getting drunk. And it's really sad. He's following his father's footsteps in that. And yet, I just feel God wants to do a working in his heart and use him in the future. And so we keep working with him, keep trying to draw him to Christ, and we would ask you to pray with us in that. The guys were able to get all the trusses built for this building. That's basically a double cabin, as we would call it, or a duplex. And that will give a place for us to host teams and ladies and men coming that'll be a little bit better than the cabins and a little more workable for a bigger team. So we were able to get the entire roof put on that place as well. We had to run water lines and sewage lines for that facility. So those were all put in place. And then, of course, in the midst of all that, we continued to keep teaching the people. And literally coming from the island to the mainland where we're working is about a mile and a half. It's not a great distance. And back in May, I might have told you previously, we had a conference with the people. And during that conference, we went through the entire chronological, and that's what all those pictures are, the whole chronological teaching, creation to Christ, going through Scripture, and teaching the people. And we kept talking about the importance of coming to God God's way versus coming to God man's way. And coming to God God's way requires faith, sacrificio and sangre, faith, sacrifice, and blood, the shedding of blood. And so here we were putting up notes on the board for them and working with them to help them understand that it's so vital for them to really, really understand that. And so we had a team of three guys that went last May, and they did that teaching, and we saw a great response from the people. I was just amazed to see 45 people every day coming, sitting, learning, listening, and sitting for 9 hours a day. I was like, man, I don't think I could get that back home, let alone down here. But, you know, they came every day. We provided transportation. We helped them with a meal at noontime. And they just came, and they were like sponges. Well, I'm really excited to say that God took that and really moved the hearts of the people. Now, prior to that, I had gotten to a place literally where I said, Lord, is it time to move on? After working 7 years with the Rama people, I was to this place where I was feeling like, you know, I'm just not seeing a response amongst the people. We have just this little handful of believers, and even the believers don't really seem to really come very much. They don't really show much enthusiasm. And I'm like, Lord, is it time to move on? Because at some point you got to move forward and see things develop. And so I said, Lord, what do I do? Well, I had three believers come to me and say, Tim, we need more teaching. We need more teaching on the difference between Christianity and religion. And that's why we kept using the theme, coming to God, God's way, not man's way. Religion is coming to God, man's way. Christianity is coming to God by faith in Jesus Christ. And so we wanted to make sure that people could really understand that, and we spent time on that. And it was amazing to see their interest and change. I had never seen that kind of enthusiasm amongst the people. We bathed and bathed that in prayer, and God really blessed and gave us quite a group of people. Well, here, this past January, we went back and taught again. And this man is one of the men that is actually very, very keen to learn and grow in the Word. This is Myron. Myron is really, really excited and pumped about teaching the Word and sharing the Word with his people. Here's Henley. Henley's only 19 years old. If you talk to him, you'd think he was 30 years old in Christ. This young man has really, really got a heart for the Lord. And it's amazing how God's touched him. Ruth continues to be a vital part of helping us with the cooking and taking care of the hosting us and the teams and working with the whole administration there, doing a great job, absolutely a great job. And we're just so thankful for her. So here we had the people meeting. And in January, we did 3 days of teaching with the people again and prepared the food for them. They had a great time. They thoroughly enjoyed it. It was great to see young and old coming. The children were coming and hearing and getting teaching, and the adults were coming and getting teaching. And to watch them pour themselves into the Word of God, looking up chapter and verse, and truly, genuinely interested. Here is Damri and his wife, Yaseth. They also, at one point, said, we would really like to be able to go and learn the Word of God and come back and teach our own people, because we want to make sure the next generation hears this and really understands the importance of coming to God God's way. And so as we work with them in January, we were talking about pulling a team together to send them to Panama for discipleship and Bible teaching. And so we encouraged the people to come alongside of that and be part of that. And I was really impressed. I was back with the team in February. And in February, the very first day I was there, I should say the second day after I arrived, or the first day after I arrived, was Sunday. And so on Sunday, let me see here, right there, Myron and his cousin, Layla, had pulled the people together and said, let's get together and let's hear the Word of God and let's have church together and we'll have the missionary teach us. And then he informed me I was going to be teaching them. And so I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'm going to be teaching Sunday today, you know. So I'm literally going through my Bible, getting verses ready while he's announcing everything. And I'm like, wow, okay, be ready to preach or whatever anytime, you know. And so Myron has a great passion. And God has really touched this guy's heart. We had 70 people present that morning. I would have never dreamed. This is totally orchestrated by the Rama, by Myron and his cousin, Layla. They gathered the people together. And to top that off, baseball was going on. Okay, baseball's the number one sport amongst the Rama. I mean, if you think we're fanatics about football here, well, these guys are fanatics about baseball. I mean, yeah, it's... how many people will come watch the baseball games? And so here we are having church Sunday morning while baseball is going on. We still had 70 people. I'm like, wow, Lord, you are really at work amongst these people. And I want to tell you about that because I want you to know that God is answering your prayers as you've been praying and that God is at work and he is doing a great working. And as we spent time with them, we said, how can we get these people to be able to go from their little island and get training and come back and be discipled and ready. So here they were coming from their island to our place and going back and forth in their sailboats for teaching and their little boats. And we took the men over to the island. If we were to take you to the island, this is what you would see. We take you in an open boat like this. All right, there we go. Boy, this thing doesn't always change. And this is where they live on the island. They are so crowded on the island, as you can see, their houses are right out into the water. That's how crowded it is. And that's why we're building the development of the housing and the whole new village development. They're so crowded. And by the way, those look like nice little shower houses, but those are also toilets. So they're polluting the water right there where they live, which is really sad to see. They're very reclusive, quiet people, very non-confrontational. And it's just been amazing to see how God has really been doing a great working amongst them. And it's exciting to see not only the adults, but the kids getting excited. And as we spend time with them, we're seeing them come together. Well, what we did was we decided to send these five students to Panama for training. And so we started meeting together with the five students that were going to go and making preparation, making sure they could get a visa for Panama, making sure they had funding, making sure that transportation and all that was being worked out. And as we were doing that, one day when we come over with a team to the island, Myron says to me here, and Myron's right there in the center, he says, Tim, he says, I don't think I should go. I said, why, Myron? He said, well, because the people, they're begging me to stay and to teach them. They're telling me, Myron, if you go, who will teach us God's word? And we need someone to teach us God's word, and we don't have anybody to teach us right now. And Myron, you need to stay. And I looked at him, and I looked into his eyes, and I said, Myron, you need to go. And you know why? He said, no. I said, Myron, you know, and I know, that the Moravian Church has become a church of religion, right? It's just rules and regulations. There's no faith. There is there, Myron. No, he says, there's no faith. I said, you know why that is, Myron? I said, because of men just like you. Men who had a heart to teach and reach their own people. But they weren't prepared. And so they tried to teach the people, and pretty soon, they slipped right into the Catholic ways of rules and regulations. They lost their faith in Christ. They stopped placing their faith in Christ, and they just started living by rules and regulations. And that's what happened because they never had teaching. I said, Myron, over 30 years ago, I went to Bible school, and it's been the very foundation of everything I've done ever since. You need to go. He said, okay, I'm going to go. Well, interesting enough, as we gathered together, a few days later, Myron came to me and he said, Tim, he said, God answered my prayer. I said, what's that, Myron? He said, well, remember I told you I was worried about coming because there's nobody to work with the people? I said, yes. He said, well, I told Jaime what you told me about him. I'm like, oh, what did I tell you? He said, remember you told me that you were really disappointed with Jaime as a believer because he went to Costa Rica and he got training and he came back and he never taught his own people. He kept it all to himself. And he says, I talked to Jaime one day about that and he said, you know what, Tim's right. And after Myron had done some teaching, a little Bible study with the people, Jaime actually came to him later and said, Myron, you can go to Panama and you can get your teaching and training because I'm going to hold the baton here. I'm going to hold it for you. I'm going to make sure that the people gather together for teaching and sharing of the word. And he says, you don't have to worry. You can go because I'm going to take care of that. And I just think it's amazing how God is at work in the hearts of the people. Here's Jaime, who was provoked by the fervor and the excitement and enthusiasm of this young believer, who is wanting to get out there and learn more, to come back and teach his people. And yet here's Jaime, who's been a believer for a number of years, who'd kind of let everything slide to the side. And Jaime realized, you know what? We need to be doing more to reach our own people. You can see right there, this is what the people are in. And this is what we're trying to get them into. Try to get them into a home that will last and be safe from the weather and the conditions. And they absolutely love baseball, as I said to you. And so we're having a great time with them. We built a baseball field for them on the property. And I'm praying and looking to the Lord to find five or six baseball players who are good, qualified baseball players to go down and do a clinic with them, teach them baseball, and share Christ with them. Because I go over there when they're playing baseball, and there'll be 300, 400 people. And I think, man, if I get a qualified baseball player, I mean, even a professional baseball player, to come teach the Word of God and teach baseball, we'll have so many people, we can actually touch the hearts and lives of these young men that never come to our teaching. And so we're praying towards that, look and see what God will do in making that happen. But they get together, and I will say that I don't have a picture in here, but one of our guys actually won the championship, one of the teams from the island. There's like 12 teams from the island. Can you imagine a place with 1,400 people, has 12 baseball teams? But one of them actually won the championship, and it was great to see that. Would someone throw the lights back on? And so God is at work, and here's the group that was getting ready to go to Panama. And we gathered together, and we prayed together, and we talked about all that was involved and what was needed and trusting God for what he wants to do. And I took a picture the night we had finished gathering and talking about that, and everybody had made their commitment to go. And it's really great to see that they've gone and they've said goodbye, but they'll be back in another few months to teach and work with their people. And I would ask you to pray for these five students. On the left side is Dembry and his wife, Yaseth, with their little boy, Samuel. And then Layla in the middle, and then Myron in the front, and Henley in the back. And so that's the group that God is preparing to disciple and teach his people. And so that, to me, has been really exciting and really encouraging to see what God is doing. And I just wanted to tell you about all that because you've been praying, and you know, we're actually facing a $1,200 a month commitment to keep them in Bible school. $250 per person is over $1,200 to keep them in Bible school. And it's just great to see how money's trickling in, and we've been able to keep that commitment. And it's great to see what God's doing. And there's so much more to be developed and worked on there. We would ask you to keep praying for us as we endeavor to go forward. But would you turn with me now, just in closing, to John chapter 15. And I just wanted to throw out a couple verses here in closing. And I just want to come back to the heart of Christ, name of this church. What is the heart of Christ? We just talked about that in those two parables, didn't we? Go after that which is lost. Seek diligently. That's what God wants us to be doing. That's what's on his heart. You know, here in John chapter 15 and verse 1 and 2, it says, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Interesting. I used to think, well, man, if something's not going right in my life, God must be punishing me. That's not what this says. This says that when the branch is bearing fruit, God prunes it. He trims it, just like we do our grapes every year. We prune our roses, don't we? I have learned that if I don't prune the roses, I don't get more roses. You ever notice that? That's the same in our lives. God prunes us. He hones and sharpens us. More fruit. And he goes down in verse 5 and he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So we know that. We know that our ability to serve and walk with God and accomplish anything is being in him. But he says in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And then I go over to verse 16, and he says, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And ordained you that you should go forth and do what? Bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And then in verse 19 he says, if you were of the world would love you, love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. So God has literally chosen us out of the world, a world of people out there. God has chosen us to carry forth his word, to bear fruit. And so that's what I want to close with this morning. I just want to leave that question. Are you bearing fruit? Can you look at your life? Can you look at your resources? Can you look at your prayer life? And can you say, I'm bearing fruit? If we can't, what's wrong? Is there sin in our lives? Have we just gone on about what the world keeps us busy with and forgotten to bring God into everything? Have we lost the Father's heart for lost souls? You know, bearing fruit often requires, like I said, pruning. And pruning means getting out of our comfort zone and doing what isn't comfortable. You know, I'll say that when I do that, life really gets exciting and interesting. When you step out of that comfort zone and you say, I'm going to trust God for this. I mean, just a couple years ago here, Jan and I said, we want to put $5,000 this year into this new building we're building for the headquarters for Friends in Action. Well, you know, on my budget, $5,000 is a lot of bucks. But I said, we're going to trust God for that. I said, Jan, let's ask God for that. You and I both know we don't have that in our budget. You and I both know we can't afford that. You know what happened that year? I got sick. I ended up down here in Hershey Medical Center. And I ended up with a $17,000 bill. I'm like, wow, so much for $5,000 going into Friends. How am I going to do that? Well, one day, a friend of mine says, hey, Tim, how you doing with that medical bill? I said, not too good, George. Well, he says, you need to call my granddaughter. She works up there. She's in the health, in the finance department, and she could probably help you with that. I said, really? He said, yeah, give her a call. Give me your number. I said, give her a call. I called her up and said, hey, I got this problem. I got this big medical bill, and I'm not sure how I'm going to pay it, my budget and my salary. And I said, your grandfather told me to give you a call. She said, oh, sure. She said, I'll tell you what, I'll send you a little application. You fill it out and send it back to me. And then Hershey will look at that, and they'll decide whether they can help you or not. I said, oh, okay. So I filled out about 12 questions, sent it back. A week later, she calls me up and said, well, Mr. Johnson, I got good news for you. They're going to help you. I said, really? I said, you know, I'm thinking, well, help me 25% or 50% maybe even, you know. She says, 100% covered. Oh, my. Whoa. I went home thinking, man, I just got a $17,000 bonus. Wow. Praise the Lord. You know what? God provided $5,000 for the project that year. I can't even tell you how. I just know it happened. People gave, and we'd see an opportunity to put something toward it. And by the end of the year, we had our $5,000 goal met. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Folks, that's not comfortable. We didn't feel too good about a $17,000 bill when we were trying to reach a goal. We didn't even know how we were going to reach the goal before we hit the bill. You know, sometimes I look at these trips and I think, how are we going to do this? How are we going to make this work together? How are we going to get these logistics? And you know, we look at our children, we look at our grandchildren, and God wants to know, are you praying? And we see things happen when we pray. So I just want to throw that out. That's my heart passion this morning, to say, folks, are we bearing fruit? And if we're not, what do we need to do? Do we need to come back to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I was trusting in myself, and I made a foolish decision. Now, Lord, help me to get out of this mess and help me go forward. Because, Lord, I want you, above all, to receive the honor and the glory for that which is done. And that's what I want to say this morning. It wasn't what Tim and Jan did. Somehow through people that gave and made it possible for us to do that. And he can do that for every single one of us as we're willing to trust him. Okay? And I'm not here to say what God's will for you is. I just know that God put that upon my heart. I said, Lord, what do you want me to share? He said, Tim, I want you to talk about that this morning. I'm like, Father, it's kind of uncomfortable. I don't want to make these people feel uncomfortable. Well, I'm just trying to be faithful to what God put in my heart. And I just want to thank you again for being a part of the ministry, praying. I want you to be encouraged to know God is using your prayers. He's at work in all those places around the world, as well as in Nicaragua, amongst the Mosquito and amongst the Rama. And He's using your prayers, so keep praying, okay? And as God speaks to your heart to do more than you're doing, to bear more fruit, go through the pruning because He wants to use you in a greater way. And that will fill your hearts. It'll flood your hearts with joy. There's great rejoicing. Let's trust God for what He wants to do, folks. Thank you.
Oh, what a message of encouragement and a message of truth. And that is really where we have been and continue to go. Looking at just where we are in our faith. Remember, we just got done an entire series of walking by faith, because it's not what we can do, but what God can do in us as we live by faith. And boy, what a work He can do. So let us come together this day in a word of prayer and thanksgiving for the word that Brother Tim has just shared with us. Father God, we do thank You for men like Tim and for his dear wife, Jan. Lord, we just thank You that You have placed people like he in our lives to encourage us, to spur us on, as Your word says, that we may be encouraged about the work for which You have for us, but Lord, about the life that You have in us, in each of us, and that life is wanting to get out. May we free it from ourselves, because that's the fruit that Tim was speaking of, because it goes out into this world and it brings souls to eternity. Father, that's Your work. You simply use us vessels. And may we rejoice in it, as Tim has said, and may our hearts be filled that we may know Your goodness and know too, Lord, that Your loved ones are loving You back. Thank You for using such sinners as we, for by grace we are saved and not by works. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.